A single day is worth 100 years. And perhaps before Bhante goes through the talk, I shall read the verses in English for you. Better it is to live one day virtuous and meditative than to live 100 years immoral and uncontrolled. Better it is to live one day wise and meditative than to live 100 years foolish and uncontrolled. Better it is to live one day strenuous and resolute than to live 100 years sluggish and dissipated. Better it is to live one day seeing the rise and fall of things than to live 100 years without ever seeing the rise and fall of things. Better it is to live one day seeing the deathless than to live 100 years without ever seeing the deathless. Though one should live 100 years not seeing the truth sublime, yet better indeed is a single day's life of one who sees the truth sublime. Bhante, please.
In Chiggala Sutta, the Buddha pointed out that we are at a juncture where three rare conditions have come together. Buddha says these three are very rare conditions. Being born as a human being, arising of a supremely enlightened one in the world, and sublime teachings of that enlightened one still exist. These three conditions are very rare. We who live at present, we have come across these three rare conditions together. Human beings are brilliant and they have wonderful capacities and abilities to be awakened. The Supreme Buddha taught the Dhamma for the humans. His main audience and the primary audience is humans, because human has the capacity and ability to be awakened from the sleep of ignorance. So his Dhamma is specifically designed for that purpose, for awakening. In these 8 verses, the Buddha says that a single day of a particular way of living is better than 100 years of living in a negative, destructive, unwholesome way. All the, not 8 verses, I believe 6 verses, these 6 verses are all connected with the Noble Eightfold Path, if you were to look at it very carefully. The Noble Eightfold Path is specifically designed to awaken the humans. The path is designed in such a way that once you practice it and cultivate it, it will help to uproot the three roots of all the defilements, the three poisons, greed, hatred, and delusion. The first 3 verses of the selected Dhamma verses today are talking about the Noble Eightfold Path in its practical aspect. And the last three of the verses explain, once you practice the path, what will be the outcome, the awakening aspects, awakening experience of practicing the path. So let's go through it and understand it a little bit more. The first verse, as it says, Yoche vasa satang jive dusilo asamahito. If someone were to live a hundred of years with dusilo asamahito. Here dusilo here means being immoral. Asamahito, uncontrolled. Ekahan jivitang seyo, but one day is better of living silavantasa jayino, being virtuous, and jayino means meditative. Now, if someone gives ways to one's own greed, hatred, and delusions to manifest, come out from one's own speech and actions, what will be the outcome? When these negative, destructive, unwholesome defilements, when they come out from our mouth, they definitely become very unwholesome speech. People will tell lies, utter vulgar words, harsh words, and unpleasant words that can hurt others, destructive words that can destroy the harmony and bring suffering. All these are rooted in negative, destructive defilement. When these defilements flow through our body, they will become destructive actions like killing, stealing, violence, and many other kinds of negative, destructive, immoral actions. So here, a person who gives ways to let these negative defilements erupt through one's speech and action is known as immoral and uncontrolled. Remember the word here, the uncontrolled means he does not or he cannot control his greed, hatred, and delusion, therefore they outflow. But there can be another human being who can control it. So who is this human being who can control it? That human being is known as the one who has sila. Sila means morally strong, upholding righteous principle. One who controls one's greed, hatred, and delusion, and he doesn't allow these to flow through his speech and actions. And such a human being will control them, but they will still arise in the mind. So when Buddha talks about a sila or morality, he explained kaya vachanang samodhanang silang, controlling one's speech and actions and not letting these defilements to flow through speech and action is the one who upholds the righteous principle. But it does not mean he is free from these defilements. Defilements arise in the mind. He still gets angry and agitated. He still has all the other negative, destructive defilements in the mind. But the important point of this human being, he doesn't allow these to outflow. Simply, he encourages certain principles to uphold. For example, 5 precepts. So when you uphold these 5 precepts, you are controlling your defilements outflowing through your speech and action. In the Noble Eightfold Path, the sila, the moral conduct, is the first foundation. Before you develop any spiritual status, you need to uphold these principles to prevent yourself engaging in these speech and actions which are rooted in greed, hatred, and delusion. So if you look at the Noble Eightfold Path, there are these three: right speech, right action, and right livelihood. All these three are there to control your defilements. However, the defilements still will arise in the mind. So in this verse, the Buddha says, having uphold these righteous principles, you must dedicate to jhāna, means meditation. Here, meditation means when you have the moral conduct, when you control your greed, hatred, and delusion through speech and actions, and you control them outflowing, but still got inside you and they are active. So what you should do now, you should sit somewhere and let these boiling defilements to settle down. So there are many ways, many methods taught by the Buddha. They all come under the label of bhavana. The term bhavana means developing, cultivating. So there are many techniques. One of the techniques is, for example, you sit for breathing in and out meditation, watch your breath and let your mind calm down. So these defilements can calm down. So when you constantly pay attention to your breath and then try to focus your mind on breath, and you will achieve concentration. When the concentration become stronger and stronger, these destructive defilements become weaker and weaker. However, this is just the beginning. And in this process, there might be other various methods of meditation that we employ, like metta meditation, or mindfulness on death, mindfulness of impermanent nature. There are many other meditation techniques also we use here, including the mindful observation of the five aggregates of clinging. All these meditation methods have got two important aspects. One aspect is to calm down the mind, achieve the concentration. The other aspect is to investigate the five aggregates. These two techniques, basically known as samatha and vipassana. In other terms, concentration types of meditations and insight meditations. All the techniques can be summarized into here under jhāna meditation. And one who has got morality and meditation, and that person also has the ability to develop the wisdom. So this wisdom is the third aspect of the Noble Eightfold Path. So the first foundation is sila, morality. The second aspect is meditation. And the third aspect is wisdom. So if you go to the next verse, and it says, yo ce vassa satan jive duppanyo asamahito ekahang jivitang seyo panyavantassa jayino. Better it is to live one day wise and meditative than to live 100 years foolish and uncontrolled. Here, what it means in this aspect, when you develop your mind through meditation techniques, and you will discover the fundamental nature of the conditioned existence, means you will see for yourself within your body-mind complex the true nature of things. When we have concentration developed, And that concentrated mind, which is well focused, can be utilized to investigate the five aggregates of clinging, the body with its feelings, perception, mental formation, and consciousness. When you observe them very carefully, and you will discover that they are all interconnected, interdependent, and they are arising and passing away every single moment, and there is no one behind this process apart from these forces, and our belief or our grab or our clinging into these five aggregates as a form of I, me, or mine is only illusion. It's a mentally created misconception. And you will see it by yourself. That direct seeing will release you from this clinging, which open the doors for wisdom, seeing things as they are. So such human beings will see things as they are in their natural status of the mind. Such a human being can be free from the delusion which throw the distortions to the mind. So the important point here, wisdom is developed through meditation. There are three types of wisdom. One type of wisdom is called Suttamaya Panya. Suttamaya Panya means a theoretical understanding of the Dhamma. When you learn the Buddha's teaching, you will achieve some degree of understanding. This is called Suttamaya Panya, wisdom born through learning the sutras, learning the Dhamma. This is theoretical understanding, very shallow, nevertheless very important. Second type of wisdom is known as Chintamaya Panya. When someone were to sit in a deep contemplation of this Dhamma and were to deeply analyze them in one's own mind, that person will come to an understanding of the Dhamma to a different level. A person will be able to see the Dhamma under different, in different level and under different light. However, this is again not the ultimate. Then the ultimate, the wisdom here, Bhavanamaya Panya. Mind has to be developed in its capacity to develop concentration and the insight that help us to dispel the ignorance whereby we will see the true nature. This is the wisdom that we are talking about. However, as I said, meditation, the English term, has its Pali term as bhavana. The term bhavana means cultivating the mind. In that sense of the word, all our activities that we do, including paying homage to Triple Gems, mindful reflection, all these are under bhavana, under meditation. One point I would like to emphasize, both in cases, bhavana, meditation is emphasized. It means meditation helps one to have a moral conduct. At the same time, meditation also helps one to develop the wisdom. So one day of life which is dedicated for the meditation and development of the wisdom is better than living a hundred of years without practicing meditation and without developing the wisdom. Okay. Here, this verse particularly talk about. Now, the earlier two verses covered the three aspects of the Noble Eightfold Path. Sila, which is morality, samadhi, meditation or concentration, panya, wisdom. Now, this verse particularly talking about the development of the Noble Eightfold Path is impossible without virya. Virya here means energy. And In the Noble Eightfold Path, there are eight factors. One of them, virya, which is energy. And every stage, there must be energy. Without this striving effort, you cannot attain enlightenment. So here, as it is said, better it is to live one day strenuous and resolute than to live 100 years sluggish and dissipated. So, kusito hina virya, these are the words translated as sluggish and dissipated. Kusito means very lazy, very sluggish, not active. And hina virya, do not have energy and always think in very negative way about life and always has a negative aspect and doesn't try to overcome the miseries and problems. Remember, Buddhism does not encourage negative way of thinking. Buddhism is a positive, progressive type of religion that encourages you to be proactive and reactive and take conscious actions and make effort to get rid of your obstacles. Buddhism never encourages for you to be a passive sufferer. If it is so, and Buddha would have stopped talking about the first noble truth and second noble truth. He would not have talked about third and fourth noble truths. Remember, Buddha talked about four type of truth. So here the energetic striving is essential. So he says, living a single day which is energetic and striving and strenuous and resolute, having a mindset to attain that supreme goal is extremely important. In Padana Sutta, we come across the Bodhisattva before he sat down under the Bodhi tree. He made a strong resolution, a strong determination. Let the muscles and blood and veins of my body dry up. I will not get up from this place until I reach the enlightenment, which is possible through manly power. When he used the term manly power, what he means it doesn't have masculine meaning, means enlightenment which is possible to be achieved by men and women, whoever human being. So he made such a resolution and made such a strenuous effort to attain enlightenment, which he did. And after all, after attaining to that supreme enlightenment, throughout 45 years, he talked about it and how to attain to that supreme goal. However, he emphasized one aspect of it, most important of it, again and again and again. This is virya, energy, striving effort. He said, viryena dukkhaṃ gacchēti. Through making effort and working hard diligently, you can end the suffering. Enlightenment can be won. And there are many occasions Buddha encouraged the disciples, saying, monks, if you all try as I did, you all can be enlightened. So perhaps, maybe this is the only religious leader or teacher who said such a thing, that disciples also can achieve the same status as the founder of this religious tradition. We can see many other religions, of course, but none of these people have said similar to what Buddha said here. It means enlightenment is open for all the human beings as far as we are ready to work like the Buddha did. Now I would like to bring your attention to something very important. Throughout 45 years, Buddha taught many dhamma. He gave many talks. There are thousands of suttas that we have preserved. There are many things he taught. But just before he passed into Mahaparinirvana, he uttered, work diligently. Everything is impermanent. So what he emphasized here is work diligently. Just before his great passing away, for him to utter and emphasize the point that work diligently means make effort, simply express that how important it is to have virya or energetic striving if we want to be enlightened. So these three verses together talks about the Noble Eightfold Path in its three aspects, and then specifically emphasize we need to have striving effort in order to practice it. The next three verses talks about what will happen to an individual eventually when you follow the path. Here, yoche vassa satang jive apassang udayavyang ekahang jivitang seyo passatu udayavyang. The term here important for us is udayavyang. So better it is live one day seeing the rise and fall of things than to live 100 years without ever seeing the rise and fall of things. What does it mean by rise and fall of things? Here, this term, udayavya, rise and fall of things, capture the entire philosophy of the Buddha, which is everything is interconnected, interdependent, they are conditioned, they come into existence conditioned by many other causes and conditions, and they are evolving. So what it means is nothing is static, nothing remains same, everything is evolving. What it means here, a person who develops the Noble Eightfold Path eventually will come to a deep state of realization of impermanent nature. Of course, we all know impermanent as a theory, but we do not see it in a cognitive level. No matter what we talk now here, the moment we step out and our mind will get into its own way of behaving. So we will perceive things in a distorted way. In Vipallasa Sutta, the Buddha talks about how these distortions happen. The first, of course, we perceive in a cognitive level things as permanent and everlasting. And based on that thinking, that perception, we start thinking. Based on that thinking, we start to weave our web of illusion. So therefore, to see the to get it corrected, we need to see things as rising and passing away in the process of evolving. When we practice the Noble Eightfold Path and eventually we develop 5 spiritual faculties which enable us to see this rise and fall nature of our body-mind complex as well as everything else. And of course, this is the beginning of the awakening. The person who sees a rising and passing away of the body-mind complex and everything else will start to see the Dhamma. This can be the beginning stage of awakening. However, this statement can be understood in a very shallow sense and ultimate sense. The fully enlightened ones, they always live in this, and there's nothing for them to specifically make effort to see. But in a shallower sense of the word, a practitioner will start to realize and see it for himself or herself for the first time. the conditioned experiences are in a constant flux. And this is the beginning of awakening. Can we go to the next one? Next one is important. This, of course, we can mention here as a stage of the first awakening in the shallow sense of the word, but in a deeper sense of the word, it can be also applied to fully enlightened one. Here it says, Yoche vassa satang jive apassang amatang padang ekahang jivitang seyo passato amatang padang. The key word here, amatapada. Here it is better to live one day seeing the deathless state rather than living 100 years without seeing the deathless state. The term deathless state is used here to mean enlightenment, Nibbana. So a practitioner, for the first time when he awakened from the deep sleep of ignorance, he will see the enlightenment directly by himself. Here it does not mean enlightenment is something in another realm. What it means, he will see through his wisdom the true nature of our very existence. With that awakening, of course, all his doubts will disappear. His confidence in the Triple Gems become unshakable. No matter what, he cannot be shaken with his goal, and he is bound to be fully awakened. So this state is recognized as a state that he is awakened to the first stage of awakening. But this also, of course, can be used to mean the person who is fully enlightened, he's already living with this condition of the mind. Oh, it's a very wrong to say condition of the mind philosophically, but a fully enlightened person can live in this kind of mental experience. But the one who is awakened to the first stage, he started to see it, beginning to see it, and he get the great confidence in the Triple Gems and cannot be shaken back. The last one is here referring to the Four Noble Truths, ultimate realization and the fully enlightened state. It is said, Yoche vassa satang jive apassang dhamma muttamang ekahang jivitang seyo passato dhamma muttamang. The word dhamma muttamang is the important term here, means a supreme dhamma. The term supreme dhamma is used to mean the Four Noble Truths. Four Noble Truths are the ultimate teachings of the Buddha, the highest teachings of the Buddha. There's nothing more superior to Four Noble Truths. Whatever the teachings that we talk about under Abhidhamma or under the various other Buddhist traditions, that we talk about various philosophies like sunyata, voidness or nothingness or emptiness or whatever the terms that you want to use, those philosophical terms, those jargons, all these are within Four Noble Truths. So of course, it is between the Buddhist traditions and the Buddhist schools we argue, because we want to have more followers, we want to be more popular, so we argue with each other for the superiority. That is what happened when we entered a competition. That is what happened throughout the history of the Buddhism. But there's nothing superior apart from what Buddha taught, because ultimately Four Noble Truths. So in this case, it is said, it is better to live a single day life of seeing the Four Noble Truths. Here, seeing the Four Noble Truths does not mean theoretically knowing the Four Noble Truths. It means you deeply realize it within your system, and there's no more training for you. So these people who achieve this state is known as fully enlightened humans. Ancient Pali words we use to mean it, we can use arahants, or we can use the word buddhas. with the meaning that awakened ones. So this is the ultimate goal of the practice in the Noble Eightfold Path. So these six verses, if I were to summarize, first three verses together explain the three aspects of the Noble Eightfold Path and emphasize the importance of energetic striving. And the last three verses talk about the awakening experiences. When you practice the path, you will come to a kind of level of understanding of rising and falling away of all the conditioned things. And with that, you will be awakened to the first stage where your confidence in the Triple Gems cannot be shaken, and you are bound to be fully enlightened. And eventually, you will realize the Four Noble Truths, which is the Supreme Dhamma.